Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust that it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again. Christmas on a Sunday. Can you believe it? I mean, what an inconvenience. I remember back in June, we have something we call the Leadership Committee Community, where we get the elders, the community group leaders, all the kind of ministry heads together. We get them together 3-4 times a year to help us think through things. And I remember saying back in June, Christmas is on a Sunday, what are we going to do? And someone said, I think we should have it, you know? So we decided to have Christmas, and I said, what do you do? I mean, Christmas Eve service, Christmas Day service, no service, lots of services, and this is what we came up with. And, you know, but I remember my initial thought was inconvenient. See, because I don't have great memories of Christmases being on Sunday. I'm 53 years old. I think there's been 7 of them in my life. And the last one, we got a dog on Christmas Day. And that wasn't the most memorable thing, was everyone in my family was sick, including me. And so basically I was up all night the night before, we did church, went home, slept all afternoon. I don't even remember that Christmas, except there was a dog that somehow appeared and he's not left. But you know, that wasn't the most inconvenient Christmas for me. The most inconvenient Christmas for me was back, and I Googled this. That's a wonderful thing about Google. You can actually check out dates. 1966. I was 8 years old, and I found a few family pictures. That year, we had a huge snowstorm, and my big brothers built a huge snowman. I think that's my brothers Dan and Doug standing out in front of it. I guess I was inside drinking hot chocolate. You can see, even though there were 6 kids in the family, it was not looking to be a very good Christmas. Notice that tree? No presents. That's Doug right there in the middle holding his football, probably from last year. And that's me on the floor. And if you look real closely, you can see that I have my Tiger tank, which was the big gift from the year before. It was kind of a wired remote control tank, and I used to love to lay on the living room floor and let the thing crawl over me. We just kind of did that back and forth. Of course, I'm 7 years old at the time. Well, okay, Tiger tank had come and gone, and that year for Christmas, as an 8-year-old, what I wanted, and really what every cool kid wanted, was a Revell road racer. I mean, how many of you guys that are 50 years or so, how many of you will admit? Okay, there's only one other cool person here. Okay? Those things were like, I mean, you kids don't even know what you're missing. I mean, I wanted that so badly, and Ned across the street, he wanted one, and at church, Galen and Tommy and Donnie and Larry, they all wanted one. And, okay, you know, if you're going to, you know, if your Christmas tree looks like the picture before, and your parents put a box underneath there that's like this big, and the only thing on your Christmas list is a Revell road racer kit, you know when you got it, okay? And you know, I don't know where I was, you know, 3-4 days before Christmas, and I realized there's no road racer under there. And it was getting worse. Christmas was on Sunday. And, you know, my dad was hardcore. My dad was a preacher, as you guys know. And, we had Sunday school at 9:30 and worship service at 11. We were real Christians. And none of this cutting stuff out. The only thing we did was we canceled evening service that night, you know, and that, you know, there was creeping liberalism going on there. So, you know, but, you know, and I'm 6 years younger than the next ones up, you know, so I'm kind of raised in a teenage home, and they all wanted to sleep in and eat a big breakfast, because my parents do the, didn't do the layout, the gifts type thing. They just, you know, we had boxes that you opened. And so not only did we have to sleep in, they wanted a big breakfast, then we had to go to Sunday school and then to church. And so I remember waking up that morning and I was disappointed because there was no big box under the tree. And what was worse, I had to go to church. Sunday school. And that lady didn't want to be there, and I didn't want to be there, so you know that was a great educational experience there that morning. But it really got bad. Because Galen and Tommy and Larry and Donnie all got road racers. And there was no road racer under the tree for me. And I remember, you know, you had those big sacrificial moments in your life. I mean, that was one of those things where I gave it up to God. I thought, maybe that's what He means by take up your cross. No road racer. And literally, I remember getting in the car after church on our way home, and I literally just burst out crying because I thought, they all got road racers, and I didn't. That was an inconvenient Christmas. But you know, I want you to think for a minute. You know, we live in a society, you know, in a Christian society that generally is not being real straight up with us. Because for some reason, we've been led to believe that every time God intervenes in our life, it's great. It's wonderful. Bigger, better, more, you know, newer, nicer. And it's almost like, you know, say three prayers and get more money. That's the philosophy that's out there a lot. And unfortunately, that's not it. I want you to think about something. Think about Joseph. Think about Joseph, the husband of Mary. I mean, he was a typical guy for 2,000 years ago. Engaged. And his fiance turns up pregnant. And even though she tells a story, and even though God sends an angel, and that angel confirms the story, I am certain that in those moments, when he was out in the wood shop, or when he was just by himself, he was thinking, God's will for me is not that great. This is not the most convenient thing in my life. Okay, he might be the Son of God, he might be the Messiah, but I'm not really sure this is what I wanted. Because he knew what people were saying behind his back, and he knew enough to know what kind of hassles, for lack of a better term, he was going to have becoming a stepfather to some other child. That wasn't convenient at all. The shepherds, I mean, okay, maybe that wasn't so inconvenient, but, you know, still, one or two of their nights were messed up. The wise men, I mean, most likely a year or two of their lives was messed up. But really and truly, probably the person that Christmas was most inconvenient for, humanly speaking, was Mary. I mean, think about that. Think about the passage we read. I mean, Mary is a teenager, young, and she's got the world ahead of her. She's got a man that wants to marry her. She's got someone that wants to spend the rest of her life with her. And then what happens? God comes in. See, the truth of the matter is, when God comes into our life, in reality, a lot of times it's inconvenient. His will for us sometimes is so much out of the ordinary, at least by our standards, that we just think it doesn't work that way. You know, I don't know, you guys know I like football, and so, you know, I've been amazed over the last 8 weeks watching the whole Tim Tebow thing. And then yesterday afternoon I turned on the television because I really wanted to see Tebow win again, pull one out. And, you know, here it is. If you watched the game, you know, he's got about 13 minutes left, and he's only down by 2 touchdowns, and I turn the TV on, and I think, okay, this is great. It's Tebow time. And I saw him off to the side. They always put the camera on him, and he's down on one knee, and he's praying. And I just knew, you know, because I've heard so much about him. George is actually reading his biography right now. And you know, the guy is saying, God, help me go out there and glorify you. I mean, everyone's watching, you know, except the people that didn't have their Christmas shopping done and the people that don't know enough to watch football. So, and what does he do? He goes out and he throws an interception and they run it back for a touchdown. Now he's 3 touchdowns down. They kick off, they get the ball back. What's he do? The next play. He goes out and he throws another interception and they run it back for a touchdown. And now the camera is on him every moment that there wasn't action on the field. And I thought to myself, wow, this is not what all of us evangelical Christians that were hoping for Tebow time were thinking about. And I'm certain it's not what he was thinking about. And it's like, what do I do now? How do I accept God's will? That was just a football game. Mary, man, this is for real. Inconvenient. I wanted a Revell Road Racer. Church came on a Sunday, or Christmas came on a Sunday, and there was nothing there. But let me tell you something. And you don't have to take your Bible, but sometime I would encourage you to do this and read through this passage in just another way. I want you to look at this verse. It's when Angel Gabriel came and appeared to Mary. He said to her, "Hail, favored one. The Lord is with you." Hail, single teenage mother that's now going to be expecting. You're favored. And notice what it says. It says she was greatly troubled at that salutation. She kept pondering it in her heart. What did it mean? It wasn't what does it mean? Yeah, she knew I'm going to have a baby. My life, there may be no Joseph in my future. I mean, I might be one of those single women that just has to go around and beg for food trying to raise this kid. She didn't know where God's will was going to lead her. But this angel is saying she is a favored one. You know what's really fascinating about that? You kind of miss it in the English. That term, favored one, that is a Greek word that means highly graced one. Extraordinarily graced one. The most blessed one of all. And she's saying, here is this inconvenient news, and you're saying, I am incredibly blessed. You see, that word's only used 2 places. There, and over in Ephesians 1. Remember in Ephesians 1 where Paul says, man, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And it just goes on and on and on, just telling blessing after blessing after blessing. And then you get down to verse 6 and it says, which he has freely bestowed upon us whom He loves. You know what? That's the same word. See, here's the deal. When God came into Mary's life, just like when He comes into our life, there is incredible blessing. Now, sandwich those two things together. Here's the truth. Inconvenient as it may be, when Christ comes into our life, there's incredible blessing. You know, as you think back over your maybe your last few months or your last few years, you might think, you know what? I was winning 6 games in a row, and the best way for God to be glorified was for me to win a 7th game and an 8th game and a 9th game and go right on and win the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden, God had you throw 4 interceptions in the course of about 13 passes. And you're saying, God, this does not fit. Let me tell you something about how you should construct life. God, I was heading here, and all of a sudden this happened. God, I was set to marry the most wonderful guy. We were going to raise a family for You. We were going to be this light in deep, dark Nazareth. And now this. And God says, you know what? Yeah, sometimes it's inconvenient, but it is accompanied with incredible blessing because you're doing what I called you to do. Why does God put inconveniences in our life? Why is it, other than the fact that the calendar works that way, why is it that sometimes Christmas falls on a Sunday? Why is it that sometimes you don't get what you wanted for Christmas? Why is it, as you planned out your life, God doesn't necessarily follow your orders? Bottom line is because God's got a better plan. Not necessarily bigger, better, newer, nicer, but God's got a better plan in which to glorify Himself and to bring you fulfillment. See, when Jesus Christ came into the world, He came into the world to save sinners. And that's us. And He takes us sinners and He regenerates us and He renews us and He transforms us into trophies of His grace so that we can be His people in His place. And sometimes when we engage our minds and we start thinking ahead, all of a sudden God does things that we would say aren't all that convenient. It doesn't make sense. And God says, just trust Me. Because as inconvenient as it might be, I am setting you up for incredible blessing. Not as the world counts blessing, but as God counts blessing. Because He's putting us into the position to be used by Him. And it really doesn't get any better than that. You know what happens? Sometimes after we see it all and it's like our little world is collapsing, sometimes we walk back into our home and guess what's under the tree? A big box with a Revell road racer that's been hidden under your sister's beds for the last month because your parents knew you wanted it. Maybe that's how God sometimes blesses. Maybe He blesses some other way. But there is incredible blessing when you avail yourself to be used by God. It's not always convenient. But God's not into convenient. God's into incredible. And He wants to use you that way. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much that we could come together today just to focus really on what this incredible celebration is all about. It's not about just us giving gifts to each other. It's not about seeing people and reconnecting with people and gathering as families. Father, it is about You invading humankind to redeem them, to call them to Yourselves. Father, this morning, we just thank You for that incredible blessing of Jesus Christ, the One who loved us, who gave Himself for us. And this morning, like Joseph and Mary and the other people that were cameo players in this incredible story of Jesus coming to earth, I pray, Father, that we would be very, very faithful and available and trusting in what You are doing, so that, Lord, we can realize the incredible blessing of being used by You in Your way and in Your timing. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.